Sci-Fi Party Line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me Carl.
What's happening, Quattrall?
What? People don't know what that means anymore.
I'm just saying, I'm glad you're feeling better, but I really did want to hear your, you know, the Godfather voice.
I still got a little bit of congestion. I don't know. It's there, but at least I'm not like coughing up the gross stuff.
You've disrespected the party line.
You asleep with the, where's it? What's a sci-fi fish? I don't know. Something with the... Okay, yeah, we're not going to do that.
Continuing.
Yeah. The Piranha, because that's a weird movie. And okay, never mind. Today we're going to discuss, I don't know, maybe some Fringe, maybe some Smallville, Supernatural, V. I really want to talk about V. Have you been watching V?
Yes, indeed.
Really? Okay, good. A new TV series that Carl brought to my attention. We'll talk about that. And maybe some other things we'll just throw in for you know, special treats or whatever.
I'm feeling special. Let's do it.
Okay. What does that mean, special?
We're on crack this evening. Thank you. Welcome to the podcast.
Yes. Okay, so first I'm going to start off with, I would like to say that there are spoilers in this show from the beginning of time until today, which is Friday the 25th of February 2010. That's for Charles Cadenhead, brother. Yeah, you know, he sent me a crazy tweet. And he's like, when we put out the last episode, you told me that, wow, that was really fast. And so Charles, he listened to it and he was like, what the hell are y'all doing? Y'all saw episode on Friday, y'all recorded, and then you put it out on Monday. That's too fast for Sci-Fi Party Line. You know, he's like, y'all usually slack harder than that. Give me time to catch up.
No, we tried to slack, and then people started complaining they were taking too long. So, you know, we don't know. We don't have a happy medium here. We can't make everybody happy.
So, I thought that was hilarious. I was like, I can't win. So, this is for you, Charles. Yeah, we're going to be talking about, you know, a lot of stuff. So, if you've seen anything that has happened prior to February 25th, shut it down now. Shut it down now. Yeah, I don't want to see
it's going to be on. Tweets.
But I thought that was pretty funny. I had to tease him a bit. We got another comment. Last time we was wrestling with something about Walter and the Observers or something, and Daryl had to throw in a little comment that the Observers were trying to test Walter to see if he would sacrifice Peter for the greater good. And because I think I was confused about something. So thanks for that, Daryl. That cleared that up a little bit. And we have another tweet from Charles Ellington, and that is Hal2814 on Twitter. And he said he just finished listening to Sci-Fi Party Line, and he agrees with Carl on everything. And he said, sorry to me, but keep up the good work.
The man clearly is brilliant. This is a brilliant man. We should have him on the show.
No. When I saw that tweet, I was like, what? How you just going to unilaterally tell me that I'm wrong about everything on the damn episode? And then Carl was right about it.
Again, I see nothing wrong with this. The man is clearly brilliant. He's a brilliant man.
What? Nah. I made him explain, but then he said that he agreed with you about Wonder Woman should be, because we were speculating on what Wonder Woman would, you know, should look like and would look like based on current taste or whatever. And I was saying she wouldn't be, you know, the Amazon that you thought she would be in the comic books. And he said that he agreed with the new actress should be Amazonian. As opposed to someone, you know, kind of sterile, like I thought they would pick.
Yeah, well.
I was like, and then he said something about, I like some movie only because somebody was cute in it. And then eventually he was right, but he said it in such a way, I was like, now hold up. You can't be telling Carl he right about everything. But he explained a little bit more and we had a good laugh, so...
So in the end, he sounds like a brilliant guy. Again, I just want to put that out there.
You know, I don't. So let's talk about Wonder Woman for a brief second. We finally know who she is. She is the same woman who did such fine performances, theatrical masterpieces as Legion. Yes.
Oh, no, really?
Yes.
Yeah, and she's also on, what is it, Friday Night Lights? Is that it?
I heard that was a really good show.
Well, I don't know because I have never seen it. Something about it, the time slot and when it came on, that seemed to be opposite of every show that I have truly enjoyed over the past 2 years. So and somehow it continued, yet the shows I was trying to watch all got canceled. So just out of spite, I have never seen Friday Night Lights.
I heard it was really good. It's about local football here in Houston. Well, not Houston, Texas, but just in Texas in general. So, and it was really realistic or something like that. And it was just pretty cool. So it's Adrienne Palicki. I don't know how you say if I'm butchering her name or not. But yeah, when I saw it was her and I was like, oh, this is the pregnant chick from Legion. I don't know.
You see, because so I have not seen her in motion at all. I didn't see Legion. I didn't see Friday Night Lights.
She was in the recent episode. Do you watch Criminal Minds? She was on that as a heroin addict going around shooting people fun.
She's got quite a repertoire of fine acting here. I don't know. I didn't see that one. I didn't see that one either.
She was going to be, in Red Dawn. There's going to be a Red Dawn.
Yeah. What happened? Is that coming out?
They moved it to this year because it was supposed to come out in 2010. So she's going to be in that. Now.
Well, I mean, you know, she's pretty, but
I don't know.
That's not quite what I had in mind when I was thinking about a more contemporary, more powerful kind of Wonder Woman.
Charles Hale, 2814. And Carl, this is where I have to say that I was right and you were wrong. I knew they were going to pick somebody like her.
Well, no,
admit it.
Not only were you right, I believe that you would be right on that. I was simply saying what I hoped would happen, though.
I agree with you in that. I hope that they would stick to something. But, you know, maybe they'll beef her up. Maybe they'll make her like, you know, Bridget Nielsen or something. Maybe they'll, you know, do her right and make it look and feel right. We'll see.
We'll see. We'll see. I'm going to give it a try. I am cautiously optimistic about it still.
People say that so much it doesn't even mean anything anymore. You just
well, it does. It means I'm keeping an open mind. You know, some shows out the gate, I'm like, no, 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 no. And you know, you know the history regarding that.
Yeah,
so this one
I'm just teasing you. And we do have another email from Stephanie Kruger. You get to read that one.
You know what? You just need to come on the show. What are you trying to pull here every week?
We did this one a little last minute because Carl decided that he wanted to do a show on Friday night before we watched the new Smallville, Fringe, and Super. Yeah, I'm calling you out because it makes no sense. This is your doing.
Because country girl, you're always trying to get me up on Saturday mornings.
No,
I tell you every time
you pick the time and I will adjust to you.
As long as it is between noon and 1 o'clock on
Saturday.
Time. It's not even East Coast time. It's
always pick that. You've always picked that time, and you know it. Don't you sit here and let people, a lot of these people, these fine listeners.
I picked a different time. And look at this. I got Wrath the Cat coming down on me. I pick a different time and listen to all this noise. You see? We're trying to fix it up.
Read the damn.
Okay. On the Kruger. She goes, okay. Regarding Peter Darko, she says, we know the goal of the Observer's elaborate plan was to test whether or not Walter would sacrifice Peter for the greater good.
Oh, okay.
However, do we know whether or not the milk concoction Peter drank by accident didn't somehow act as a catalyst for this recent change? And of course, is the fact that the Observer included this moment in his chain of events not really an accident after all? Walter was trying to regenerate his brain. What effect does his concoction have on a brain that is intact? Is the effect generative? Could Walter have just set into motion his worst fear? Yeah, Yeah, that's the question.
So she and Daryl agree on about this was a test for to see if Peter. And that brings us into Fringe. They kind of dropped that stuff. We never went back to the machine. We did this weird cockroach episode, which was gross.
That was kind of cool.
It was not cool. That was gross. It reminded me of that episode of The X-Files where they did the cockroach thing, and it was just gross. We didn't go back to him, you know, killing the shapeshifters, you know, Darko Peter. We haven't seen that as much anymore. I think who told me that Walter seemed like his brain was growing back because he was becoming more aggressive. I'm not sure who told me that, but that, you know, we kind of see that, or we can or cannot see that. I'm not really sure. But what we've really been getting is more of Olivia and the Peter relationship. And I don't know. I wasn't bored. I still love it. It's just...
Yeah, you and I kind of texted a little bit about this. My problem with the whole first season of Fringe was Olivia playing it kind of dry, you know, kind of serious and kind of dry. Over the last season and a half, you know, was that season two and two and a half, I guess, Olivia really got lighter and got more fun, and you know, she's really starting to embrace the insanity of the stuff that she's doing day to day. She really seemed to be opening up, and when she came back from the parallel world, she was clearly disturbed by Alt-Livia coming in here and, you know, jumping on Peter. I know she was not real happy about that.
No.
But her quietness seemed to go back to that first season, Olivia. Now, you can be upset and you can be distressed, but there was sort of a blandness about her during that first season that started creeping back in. And then you add on top of that her immediate reaction every time Peter acted a little odd. You're like, oh, well, that just reminds me of Aunt Livia. Oh, now you're just bringing her up again. He's like, dude, I'm just eating a hamburger. What?
Yeah, you put milk in my coffee. You know, I don't like no milk. Oh, my sheet. She been on my sheet. She wore my underwear. I mean, and she was just going off, and everything Peter did was wrong. But I was okay with that, Carl, but then this latest episode, she decided to flip it really fast and really like, oh, well, you know, all of a sudden I want to try, because you said us together were beautiful and oh my God, I see unicorns. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to kiss you, and the same day that I get comfortable with me and you together, we're going to screw.
Yeah. There's been some weird stuff. The Peter Darko just... I thought it was odd that they kind of let that go. I don't know if that means that it's going to spring back, because it's only been two episodes since that, you know, since we saw that.
The whole machine thing, we didn't even talk about the machine anymore.
Well, you know the machine's coming back. This is just... Now, I will agree that, you know, people have been asking, is Peter's brain coming back? He does seem to be getting... Is Walter's brain coming back? He does seem to be getting more sinister. I mean, in a quiet way, you can see... He's getting more and more afraid of what the machine is. The episode with the Torn universe, he was really, really on edge. And he was, you know, he was really taking on that commanding kind of forcefulness that you know, the Walternet is bringing on. You know, he was like, well, we'll just super glue the universe and screw it. That's it. We'll just put that in there. And he really was not trying to give time for our usual last minute heroics from, you know, from Peter and Olivia. I mean, clearly you got the old lady up in the room, you got the people talking about it. He was ready to throw that, you know, throw the glue bomb right away to try to patch things and prevent it, which did not seem like, you know, the Walter we know. He always seemed to be, if not hesitant, at least open to more alternatives. And every time this happened, he's like, ah, shut it down. No, we got to seal it. No, we can't let this happen. So Walter is, you know, heading toward the dark. We got Olivia getting, you know, oddly sterile, and then all of a sudden, you know, just busting out, you know, emotionally. And then Peter pulling back from what is it, Unabomber Peter? You know, he had his little hoodie on and the glasses. He went from that right back to, you know, regular Peter for a while. So something, you know, I don't know.
Maybe these were shot out of order or something. I don't know.
I don't know, but that seems a little odd.
It's feeling a little weird. But what really, I don't know, this last episode with the love story and the two older people, it was sweet. I get it, but for emotions to cause a fringe event between the two universes, come on. I was a little insulted.
That was almost as paper thin as the space between our universes. I was feeling earthquakes watching this episode. Like, hey, they are not doing this, people. Please, no.
Yeah. No.
But look, you know, we'll let them slide.
We'll let them slide, but they can't be, you know, pulling these type of episodes, these weird episodes, is going to turn people off, especially when the guy who plays Peter Bishop is campaigning on Twitter, Facebook, websites, whatever, that people need to actually watch Fringe live on Friday nights because they need to pull the ratings up.
Darn right.
Because it's turning out to actually be a death slot, and they're getting kind of
scared. Surprise, surprise. Who could have foreseen that Friday night would be a bad slot for a science fiction program?
Well, but, you know, they just figure all of us geeks like you and I are here on a Friday night.
What are you talking about? We got options. We got options. We choose to be doing this right now, you know, because I got parties and stuff. But anyway, yay, Peter Bishop. Oh, yeah.
No, let me stop.
he's right. I'm really surprised with the ratings on Fringe, honestly. The only thing that sort of makes sense or kind of explains it, in my opinion, is they are doing such exciting, incredible things with the story arcs that you may have... There's a lot of history now when you're watching the show that you need to know to keep up with what's happening. I don't know what the experience of a new viewer would be like watching Fringe right now. I mean, you and I, we sit down, we got history, we know the Observer, we know the universes, we know, you know, alternate people, we know all of that stuff, and we're anxious and leaning into it when the show starts. Can you imagine with somebody who hasn't seen Fringe sitting down for the absolute first time watching last week's episode would have been like, you know, that's tough. I mean, so I love
the... I don't know. Maybe a first-time viewer would enjoy that because it wasn't that much history. There was Nookie involved. There was a love story. It was, you know, a flash in the pan, one-shot episode, pretty much.
Well, yeah, but without the depth, I mean, without the understanding of what's going on behind that, they could get that from any other show. Yeah. You know, from that side, I can see how, you know, maybe attracting new viewers might be difficult, but, you know, tell your friends, call your neighbors or something, because fans know this is really amazing what they're doing with the show. We got to do something to try to keep it on before we need the writing campaign, before we send in potatoes and, you know, starting flyers and mess around. It's really great. So we gotta do something. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're
talking about. Same Farscape.
Oh man, that was crackers, wasn't it? Anyway, we'll see what happens tonight, because as we speak, it's not on yet. I'm not gonna give you the hard time.
No.
We got 10 minutes before Smallville starts.
That's right, and this will not be over by then. So DVR is
that's because we can like fast forward through commercials. So
DVR is set. Yes. Okay.
Okay. So speaking of Smallville, I'm still interested in it. I still think it's pretty cool. I still don't want it to end. It is reaching the territory of the movies now, where he's wearing the glasses and he's...
It was funny how they brought that back in. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I still want to see him fly, but...
Yeah. They're still hinting at the mythology, because what's funny is I think it was Lois kind of suggested the alternate persona in the timeline of Smallville. And this, while every, you know, the other histories that we've seen, he started as Clark Kent and Lois was the last to know.
Yeah.
About, the glasses and all that. So it's fun. And we've seen him once, I think once or twice before with the glasses on in Smallville, you know, kind of
alternate universe. Yeah.
Oh, is that what it was? Yeah, I couldn't remember.
Yeah, because he did something and Lois had on those tacky gold sandals and she was trying to be Egyptian, blah, blah, or something.
That's right. It was cute. So, yeah, it's good. And the stuff they're doing with the characters also, it's good to see the crew getting back together again. I was worried that, you know, we'd lost Chloe for a while.
Oh, I'm so glad to see her. And she's back with her wardrobe. I love everything she wears. That red dress she got strung up in eventually and lost her.
Well, you know, if you got a hottie dress on in Smallville, you got to get strung up. Have you noticed that in the S&M club, something happens that if you're wearing the blazing red, something's going to happen to you. Look out. But yeah, Chloe was rocking that. She was looking
with
the orange shoulder. You know, I said, hey, she's looking good. Yeah. So, yeah, that was fun. And I'm glad to see her. And, of course, at the end of the episode, did you see her rocking the green leather jacket also?
Yes. Just, I was like, she's rocking a boy's color.
So, what they've done, I mean, bringing back Lionel, what in the world? I mean,
that was crazy.
If it was any other show, seriously, I'd be like, you know, they tried to pull a Tasha Yar on us here because I was like, how many times is Lionel going to come back? But I like him. I like him. I always like him. And I like what he brings to the show.
He always has crazy hair and it's something he does with his eyes. He got the crazy eyes and he's just always compelling to watch because you're like, what the hell is this crazy mofo going to do next?
That's
and he's
right.
always doing something. He can't do anything. He did like one nice thing. He got somebody a watch or something, or he saved somebody's life. One nice thing. The rest of it, he's just like, you know, I'm not going to do anything nice. Everything I'm going to do, you think that's nice? I'm going to do the opposite. Always. Forever.
And it hurt him. You could tell him doing the nice thing really hurt him. It was like, okay, the watch hand, and bam, now how can I take over the universe? Oh, yes, that's right. A clone kid of my son to overthrow the planet. Bam, that's it.
Yeah.
But enjoy the watch. Enjoy the watch, you know.
But I heard the rumors and the rumors that the actual old Lex is coming back.
I hope so. Man, that he was my favorite.
He's
honestly.
Holding out tough, right?
He was my favorite on Smallville. I loved him as Lex from the beginning, and I have totally missed him. I've totally missed him on the series. So, yeah, come on. You cannot. Only person left is Pete. Pete and Rosenbaum.
Dude,
bring him back.
He went to jail, man.
I know, but I'm just saying, you know, you need
to. We ain't going to say why, because it's really disturbing.
We're not going to call out poor Pete like that. But yes, the closure, the gang's getting back together. I'd love to see Lex back again. So,
well, they can bring Computer Boy back, or what was his name? Techno Boy, or Cyborg.
Oh, yeah.
Get back all day.
Okay, yeah. There's a little extra enthusiasm there.
Yes.
So they're doing some interesting things with the hello? What? We're so excited about Smallville. They're doing some really exciting things with the characters, and I keep asking myself while I'm watching it, would they have been able to do this if they didn't know the series was ending, or if it wasn't the very last season, would they have been able to pull out these same kind of stops? And I don't know. The things that I'm seeing really, you know, implying that, you know, they could just tackle one more season. But I'm seeing, I'm not seeing anything that's like, you know, well, okay, so they blew up a couple, they blew up the Talon and whatnot. But they're not really burning a whole lot of bridges that would be like.
Do you know how they do in Smallville? They will blow up that whole town and the barn in one episode. You know how they do.
Yeah, do it. But it'll be back in the next one, is what I'm saying. I mean,
Superman's fast. He can build it in a, you know.
Well, all I'm saying is, you know, I'm enjoying what they're doing, and it feels kind of like they're taking chances and risks. And I'm thinking, because it's the last season. But then when I back up and I look at it, I'm not seeing anything really.
I agree with that. I was giving you a hard time, but I agree with that.
So I'm just going, well, I guess it's just really good writing or, you know, good work on their part that, you know, they don't have to blow up the joint to keep it compelling.
I think it's a combination of both, honestly, because they know they're going to have the last season. So having a last season mean they need to wrap up stuff and they get more freedom because nobody cares. And if they have more freedom, then you actually might get some good writing except as opposed to not having freedom and you get flash forward. I mean, I don't. I'm sorry.
You did not have to bring that back. You did that.
Sorry. I have to at one time every episode. I have to do okay. it. Right. I have to do it. But yeah, it's the same thing with the Supernatural because it's supposedly its last season as well, and they're doing great things. Have you watched Supernatural the whole time, or are you a latecomer?
I'm a latecomer. Latecomer to Supernatural. I've been watching it.
Watched all of them, or have you just been catching up as you go?
I kept caught up as I went. I did not go back. I've been watching it for maybe the last 2.5 seasons.
Actually. Oh well, that's pretty much. Like the whole time.
Really? I thought it was around longer than that.
Yeah,
really?
It was. But I mean, you pretty much get the gist of what's going on if you've watched it that long.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, if you're still watching, you kept up with it. Obviously, you saw something you liked.
Yeah, no, I'm not feeling like I'm missing anything or that something's incomplete. I really enjoyed the series. I have no idea why I wasn't watching it from the start, but.
Because it had the CW stench on it. And then there's a thing that the CW has that turns some people off.
And there's the other thing is the Smallville team like ran off and started working exclusively on Supernatural.
Oh,
and
so I did not know that.
I think right. I
don't know.
So I like the Smallville crew, and when that happened, I said, okay, well let me go see what they're doing with this next series. And I think that's when I went to really jump in and check out what they were doing over there. So I think that's what happened. And that's when what got me started to watching it.
So as a latecomer, I mean, what kept you watching? What was it about it? Because I know you like science, and this is not scientific at all. It's two guys doing crazy stuff. It's, you know.
It's the male bonding. It was the male bonding that kept me. Seriously, that really is it. Because sometimes when you've got just two guys palling around and having a good time in a series, and the chemistry is there between them, they're interesting, that can make it. That can make a show compelling. Which I mean, honestly, in my opinion, that's what keeps me watching Community. Because watching Abed and you only got me watching. What's the guy's name? Abed and what's his name? What's his name? Glover, right? You know, Glover.
Well, I know his name is Glover, but I forgot what his stage name is. But yeah, Charlie.
Him. Anyway, that is, a show like Community. See, I'm taking us off the rails. But, when I'm watching Community, it's kind of like Seinfeld. When you try to explain what the show is, when you try to tell me, I said, what's that show Community everybody's been talking about? Well, it happens in a community college, and a bunch of people are studying together. I'm like, what is this woman talking about? This is the, the lamest premise.
Well, yeah, because I told him he needed to watch it, and I tried to explain it. I just couldn't explain it in a way that made sense.
And so you sit there going on, and then there's this one time where they make a blanket forts in the community college. I'm like, okay, I don't know what this woman's trying to get me to watch. But I sat down, and I started watching it, and the guys cutting up, those two are what this. So anyway, let's take it back to Supernatural. Watching those two, was really, really funny. Just seeing what they're going through and how real they keep it. It's easy.
Troy Barnes.
Yeah, what? Who? What?
Troy Barnes. I can't. Yeah. My accent is getting in the way of that. Barnes. Okay.
But on a show like Supernatural, when it's first being created, it's easy to take things too seriously or to try to make the show something bigger than it is. And so when you see these guys just cracking jokes, in the middle of stuff, the best weapon they got is like an old beat up car and a baseball bat. And they just say, look, this is what we're up to. And it's,
let's throw salt.
Yeah, yeah, throwing salt, and people are like, are you guys for real? It's like, what? This is really hardcore stuff here. I got an old human skin bound book at my side. What could go wrong? So it was just fun to see that, and then everything else kind of grew from that. So if the guy bonding wasn't there, if the camaraderie between those two wasn't there, I think the craziness of everything that was going on around them wouldn't feel grounded. And it would kind of seem like the creature feature of the week, and I don't know. So I think it starts with them is why I'm enjoying it, and then the realism of some of the other things that's tied to that, like what's his name, the angel that always shows up.
Castiel.
I like Castiel.
Oh, his dry humor is so cool, amazing.
Oftentimes I wear a trench coat, you know, a big long black leather trench coat. And so sometimes if I want to make a dramatic exit, I'll make that flutter sound. I'll be like, and I'm out. You know, it's because you got to rock the Castiel exit. Yeah, the flutter is awesome. So, you know, I can mimic it, but that's about all I can do. That's what I'm watching. So I'm with you because I really like, you know, more of the science and the technology stuff. And that's also why I was a little slow to adopt it. But when I started watching it, it's just so much fun and it's so real. So, yeah, I like Supernatural.
So are you buying the – well, I like the No Soul Sam. He was really, you know, kind of attractive in a different way. But we got Soul Sam back and – well, I guess you can't really argue about the believability of getting a soul out of a Satan pit with the this and that and the other. But are you liking that storyline? Do you believe the way it's being presented? Does it, you know, feel weird to you? Or
all right, well, getting back to my constant drone, I'm always talking about consistency, right?
Right.
Whether it's science fiction or fantasy, if you're going to create an alternate universe, world, spiritual realm, just make stuff hang together with what you're talking about. They're doing a good job of that. They are, I don't know if they are pulling from actual mythology or if they're kind of winging it as they go. But
they're doing half and half. Half of the stuff is grounded in stuff that actually exists, and they're using stuff that is supposedly, you know, actually like salt to get rid of demons or to keep them out. That is an actual thing. I mean, you know, there are no real demons, but if you believe in that sort of thing, you'd use salt. You know how you cook in and you throw salt over your shoulder to keep the demon from looking over you while you're making food, whatever that means. That's kind of, it's kind of grounded in the reality of the human mythos, and it makes a bit of sense, but...
Wow, that was very deep. I like that. Grounded in the anyway, but the world of, you know, heaven and hell that they've also created here. I mean, you got freelance demons running around. They're reporting into the pyramid scheme of the vampires. I mean, they are creating a believable triangle or hierarchy of folks. And, you know, what's going on with the angels, all of that stuff. Again, it's hanging together to be an interesting alternate realm that we only get glimpses of, but we know that background is there, and that's framing everything that's going on in this series. It's good. I like it because there have been attempts to do fantasy like this, and they don't do a really good job of defining that other space. And you can feel it when you're watching the show. It's like, oh, that doesn't make sense. I mean, even the names don't even hang right. You know, the spiritual plane of blah, blah, blah. And people are like, that just sounds fake. That just sounds wrong. You're like,
yeah, I'm going to turn the channel. I really want to find out about, I want to know who's God in this particular series, because they keep hinting around that. I know what they're going to do. They're just going to leave him as an unknown. Really irritates me, but I really want to know who is the God in Supernatural. Who is this big bad vampire who they were really scared of for all these, you know, episodes, and then we just kind of drop that. I don't know what's going on with that. Purgatory. Mm-hmm. We never really got, I mean, we had, one of the angels or demons or whatever, demons was after, you know, entrance into purgatory and the location of it. Then he died and
location. Yes.
We still don't know where it is. What are they planning for it? I mean, they kind of said what they're planning for, but it's kind of up in the air. And so Sam, we did a lot of work to get Sam's soul back. But now that it is back, you know, the one demon said, don't scratch at the walls of it because you're going to start remembering stuff. And you know he's going to scratch at the walls.
I mean, he couldn't even make it through an episode after that.
Right.
Before he was just kind of like, I wonder what, boom, and he's on the floor. Is it what happened? That's compelling. That's interesting.
It is compelling, but those three things, I want to know. Tonight's episode that we are currently we're probably going to have to, you know, fast forward DVR because of Carl. This one is really going to be funny because it's going to be Sam and Dean, but they're going to like burst into reality and they're going to be on the actual set.
There you go. And when I said they don't take things too seriously on this series, bam.
They always do something really crazy. Did you see the one where they were stuck inside of like sitcoms or TV shows? They were like General Hospital one time, and then they were in a happy sitcom riding bikes together, and they were singing and la la la. It was...
But that sounds hilarious.
I'll have to find the name of that episode so you can find it somewhere and watch it. But that is hilarious. These are the types of interactions between Sam and Dean that really make this show popular and get people excited about it because these guys are funny together. Mm-hmm. These guys are great together. So,
how's it doing ratings-wise?
I think it's, I don't know. But it feels like it's still strong. And there are like hints that people want another season, and I think if the fans really dig in and bite somebody's leg off or something, they'll get another season. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, I'd love to see it. I'm you know, because I it's really hard to get a barometer anymore. It's like every time I like a show, that's the one that gets canceled. So I don't even
know. Yeah,
know
where I'm scarred.
I don't know how to, you know, guess what the folks are watching anymore. So I don't know.
Yeah, you never really know. One that I still don't know the numbers on as far of who's watching, who's not, if it's in danger, is V.
V, what you guys doing? V, what is going on?
What do you mean?
Look, V is completely inconsistent. And from episode to episode, V was good in the beginning. Then it kind of flattened out for a while. Then it came back kind of good. Then it kind of petered out again. Now it's good again. It's this yo-yoing on V that I think, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're doing on the show. Okay, because look, remember after Red Rain, we were talking about the sort of how everything went back to normal. And the scale of what they were doing was kind of small. And everything was kind of small. We're like, okay, well, great. Now we're back. Now what? Then we had the siege episode where, you know, there's the all of the, what do we call it, the Fifth Column crew were held up in the one building, and you got the betrayal going on between mother and son.
Mm-hmm.
You got dad coming back into the picture.
Oh, love Krychek.
Yeah, how about that, huh?
Oh, rest in peace, brother, man. Mm-hmm. He always get killed and everything. I was pissed when they killed Krychek. It's like, why can't Krychek live? Why can't he live?
You knew as soon as they were running across that big open area.
No, because they said, once Anna said, we have to get him in that building because he will die with the mother. I'm like, well, we know they're not going to kill Blondie, but we know Krychek's going to get it.
Yeah, well, it was the slow-mo run. I just knew it. Because,
dude, right?
But didn't somebody like fall down behind him and he turns to go back for her? And I was like, leave her, man, don't do it. He's like, well, I've got to go, cow. And then there's that rope drop that we've seen every time in slow-mo. It's like, no.
Man.
And of course.
That's so mean, Carl. Leave her.
No, leave her. Because, look, we didn't know who that was. We want Krychek to serve. And what happens? The wife goes running right back out there, right, Blondie? I mean, like, 2 seconds later. How come 1 second before he runs across there, you got crossfire coming from the ceiling, from the ground, snipers left and right. She goes, oh, he's been shot. She turns around and runs. One guy with a pistol's out there. Oh, I can't hit her. What happened to all the sharpshooters? But.
Oh, no, so, the thing that upset me the most was the kid, like, this is your fault in the FBI. Humans, I hate you. I'm going to the ship. What? Well, that didn't even seem realistic. This kid, I hate this kid. He's always doing the dumbest thing ever. This is the worst kid. You know, I thought, you know, as I grew up as an adult, that I was a pretty crappy, you know, kid, and that I gave my parents, no, I was an angel. This guy's a douchebag.
So what you're saying is that you had never, at no time during your childhood, decided to pilot an alien spacecraft and join forces with an extraterrestrial war team?
No.
You never did that?
Oh.
Yeah, then you were an angel. I mean, that, you know, because that's inexcusable. I think that's somewhere. It's frowned upon counseling for joining the V's. So in the lull period, so before that happened, because that episode was great. I mean, you're talking about, but before that episode, we had maybe one or two of them where they were just kind of flailing around, you know, recuperating from the red rain. They were walking around on the ship. You know, they had grandma locked in the basement. I mean, it was just those. There were a couple episodes that really, and they weren't even bridge episodes. They were just kind of like vanilla.
They made me feel like when, so I know the episodes, they did just like a string three of them that you were watching them, and it was just like, what is this? I want to turn this off. This is hurting my soul on some level that I can't quite explain. I don't like this. And
yeah.
Then the next string of episodes was like, wow, I can't wait till next week. And right now I'm on the top of the hill where I cannot wait till next week. I'm really into it. It feels like a show. I really care about the characters. They're really doing some great things. Grandma took the little glowy communication ball and she gave that little look that she, oh hell, she's getting ready to, you know, go 80s Diana on us. And it's
yeah, what's her name? She beat up, I mean, what's her name? Daughter smacked the mama. You know, that is something you were expecting to see right away. That's kind of cool.
Yeah,
and,
that's pretty cool.
Now we got, what, a clone baby pod growing in the center of the ship?
What did you think? Did you think Deep Space Nine, an episode where they had the baby Jim Hadar and it grew up in one episode?
Well, listen, I was thinking of that, but I let it go because... During the lull episodes, back if we go back to those, here's something else that really got me concerned about where the direction V was going. Remember when they go up there and they're asking Queen V, they say, hey, you know, what's going on? What's our next strategy? And she goes, I finally figured out a way that we are going to defeat the humans. At last I know what the Achilles heel of humanity is. And they said, oh, tell us, Queen. And I'm leaning in like, okay, how are you going to beat the humans? What's going to be happening? We need to target the human soul. I said, oh, crap. Did anybody else say that when she said...
Yes, I was just so deflated.
They bring out the chrome slinky, you know, that they're putting people in. And I'm sitting... Because why it doesn't set right. Because with a series like V, you want the danger and the peril to be palpable, okay? They're going to blow us up. Okay, they're going to mate with us. They're going to eat us. Just, you know, make it something clear. How are you going to make a war on souls in a science fiction movie? That doesn't make any sense. I mean, for them to even bring that up, I'm sitting there going, look, can we just get back to the guns? I don't want to see. And then they get the guy in the slinky, and it's like doing the probing actions going around. Like, well, is the soul in the kneecap or is the soul in the spine? This is ridiculous. So right in that middle time,
the watch. It felt uncomfortable, didn't it? I don't know.
I'm saying, B, what are you doing? This is the worst possible. Villain to target within the human is to try. So, but like I said, so that was two episodes of that. And then all of a sudden we got back to something real. I mean, man, they were, the siege episode was really great where you had the, you know, the,
there's a mummy.
What's the guy's name? You know, cause there's the fifth column and then there's like the bad fifth column, you know, that team.
Eli Cohn.
Yeah. When he turned with the explosives, remember we found out what's her name got his girlfriend locked up in one of the ships, or so we assume, and that he set off that bomb. I mean, so we got that kind of a mess happening. Now the father's daughter is old. I mean, it's the stuff that they've come up with now is a lot more interesting and a lot more powerful, a lot more, you know, faster pacing. But it's so totally inconsistent. Because, like I said, there were three episodes in there where I was like, I don't think V's going to make it. I wasn't even wanting to see the next episode.
It was a chore to watch it. I didn't want to admit I was watching it. Oh, it was miserable.
So what in the world? You know, what's coming next on this series? I'm excited, but I'm also afraid. If the War on Souls comes up next for three episodes, that's just not going to do it.
I hope they drop that mess, because that's no good. No. And, you know, I hate to say this, but that baby just didn't sit right. Why did the baby look like that? Somebody's child they put on his TV, and I don't... That baby had the biggest head that I've ever seen.
What's wrong with the baby head? It was the baby.
The baby looks weird. Forgive...
See, why are you going to be talking about the baby?
Yeah,
like,
I feel miserable.
Oh, the baby loves
myself or something.
I mean, the fact that she didn't have a tail right there is an improvement. So
I don't know. The baby seemed almost as big as Anna.
Yeah.
It was a really big baby. I was like, what? It's like they pulled that baby out of the one lady, and then that baby has been that same size the whole time. That's a huge baby.
You leave the baby alone. Leave the baby alone.
Okay. Let me leave the baby alone. Now, then she grew up like the whole Jim Hadar thing or the 4400 thing where the daughter was falling. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, they're going to do the 4400 thing. The priest was on 4400. This should be familiar to him.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Oh, boy. So at least I'm excited again about V, because like I said, for a while there, I was not looking forward to it, and I was afraid it was taking the path of
flash forward
path.
I don't think V's gonna make it.
I'm afraid because I mean now of course it won't, because it's getting good now. Yeah. It's now that they've got things together and they're starting to pull it together.
Yeah. It's the Caprica syndrome. Yeah. That's what's gonna happen. Yeah. In fact, it's the same way as Caprica's. Like some episodes, like what? And then some of, that's a great episode.
You know, I guess, is it fair that we're complaining as much? Because you can't hit it out of the park every episode, but it just seems like such a dramatic swing. You know, it's not like they just kind of...
It was sometimes when, like, Anna even, like, she'd do something and her whole acting would be off.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand, like, something was just off. And then the very next episode, she's like, oh my gosh, she's on fire.
Yep.
Every eye twitch, every lip smirk was on time and it was perfect. So there has to be something going wrong with the pacing or the direction, because it's the same actress every time. And how can she feel uncomfortable and a novice in one episode and feel like a brilliant, you know, movie actress of all time in the next episode?
Especially if she had nailed it previously and then goes down and then comes back. It's not like she's learning and growing into the part. Yeah,
it's just something. I don't know what's going on, but I don't think people are going to have the patience to find out. Another thing, I don't think, they're not spending as much money on promoting the show, because when the show first came out, the promotions teams used to send me all sorts of stuff. Yeah. And
they were going door to door with V. I mean, all kinds of cool apps,
like,
and things.
Wow. They were like, I got a t-shirt. I got, you know, join the V's, come on to the ship. I got a big package with all this crap in it. And I was like, wow, I'm impressed. And for this, you know, season, they've been really quiet. They haven't sent anything. They haven't even checked to see if anybody's watching. I don't see them tweeting. I don't see them being engaged. So I don't know.
Well, maybe they're just, you know, battening down the hatches, really trying to make sure the show's held together. But they got to keep that community involvement, that connection with the fans, because if you're going to be giving us yo-yoing episodes like this, we need to know somebody's still home.
Yeah.
So try. Yeah.
I will be disappointed to see it canceled, but they strayed so far from the original, which, you know, they should have, but it was just became, you know, comical and miserable and then good. Well, and then I don't know.
It was just a couple episodes, but I mean, it's just that they're at a real...
So generous.
Look, they're at a real fragile state. Look, you know how much crap
fragile,
has been...
All right.
They are. I mean, you know, right now, this is exactly the fragile state. This is where, you know, the big axe drops down on so many of the series that we like, where it's broken at, you know, 1.5 seasons. And people are trying to decide, okay, what are we going to do here? Are we going to keep watching this? Or so, I mean, they ought to know. Don't be playing around now. Don't try anything experimental. Keep it coming. Keep it exciting. And definitely keep engaged with the fans. So, I don't know. I am worried, but I am at least excited that what I've seen so far has been much, much better.
I did a quick search on their ratings. Seems to be dropping. Seems to be weak. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I think even though I was concerned about some of the episodes and we talked some, you know, in good spirit shit about the show, I still watched it and I still wanted to see it because it's like the only show on with spaceships in it now, right?
Yeah.
So, and then they brought old Diana back and she just started warming up, so...
Yeah, she's going to be good now. I was a little worried about her, too. But again, she showed up during the lull zone. So you know, even Queen V wasn't acting right during that time.
At least they don't have her crawling out of the hatch egg swamp thing. I don't even know what that was.
And you know what? She lives in a sewer. But every time we see her... Clothes are pristine.
And she come walks out and there's no sofa in there. What is she doing? Does she get food? Does she knit? I mean, what the hell is she doing down there? She doesn't have the egg anymore. Did she get rid of it? Did it ovulate out into the sewer? I don't know. Where did it go?
I don't know. But she's still styling down there. Coming out the sewer looking good.
That dress was hot last time. I love that.
And it felt a little reminiscent of classic V, which is good, too. In this last episode, did you notice all of the little things that were from the original series? We saw the V writing on his pilot outfit that looked just like from back in the original series.
Yeah.
Her, you know, her red outfit had that sort of cross-swish thing that was a little bit like, if it had a little leather flap, it would have been right back old school. So it was respectful of the original.
They're missing the big blue blocker glasses.
Well, that's probably best that they let them go. Although, just as a gag, they ought to go into a lab or somebody, and somebody's in the back, turns around, the experiment's almost done, and he's got the giant fucking
That should be the pilot glasses or something. They need to bring something back. They need to hop in the red suits.
Yes.
And put on the glasses, and then Diana needs to make her hair bigger, because it's kind of big, but it still is kind of... you know, deflated, but whatever.
Yeah.
Let's go to something new. You introduced me to a show a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
Explain it.
Oh, I'm always talking about I'm looking for something new. I'm always trying to find something interesting in the world of science fiction. And I'm saying, you know, it seems like we're seeing the same thing over and over and over again. Well, I was flipping through the interwebs, and I found mention of a new series on Current TV called Bar Karma. And this is, you remember the old Choose Your Own Adventure books where people had sort of like different pieces of stories that were going out? Well, imagine a TV series that is collaboratively written by the fans, put together, and it's an episodic kind of, how do you want to describe it? Is that like Cheers, but it's sort of this bar that exists independent of time, and it's at the intersection of the critical moments in people's lives. Mm-hmm. And so you wander into the bar, and the barkeeps, the people that live there, sort of come out to help you with a moment in your life to help you make a, I guess,
now,
a right.
Now, help is strong. They kind of snark at you and give you half information of what you really need. It's very cryptic. Yeah, so help is a very strong word.
That is true. But so from the storyline direction, that's what, you know, the series is about. That's what's going on. That's the thumbnail. But from the really innovative side of it, the more exciting part is the fan-based community. We've seen a lot of TV shows that start up and they want to reach out to the fans. Well, Bar Karma has created a computer scripting tool that allows, it's not just fans submitting, you know, via tweets and emails. You have to do this with the show, although you can do that. They actually have a sort of flow charting mechanism that was created by the guy that made The Sims and Sim Ant and Sim Life and other, Will Wright. So you got Will Wright creating a computational environment that allows for the fans to create, actually storyboard and create parts of the show. And I guess through a committee and through, you know, the bigwigs over at BarKarma or, you know, at Current TV, they decide which are the best sort of storylines, and they take the series that way. So the first couple of episodes that we've seen is them just laying down the foundation for what that world is like. Again, with science fiction, they describe the rules of what the BarKarma space is like. And now they've opened it up to the community to come in and contribute. And you can contribute crazy things. Like if you're an artist, if you have a painting that you have out on the internet someplace, you can say, oh, I think it'd be really cool if my painting was on the wall in the bar. And, you know, if you get enough votes or, you know, however the jurying system works, your painting can end up on the wall in the bar in one of the scenes on BarKarma. So it's really interesting how...
And I guess how it's science fiction is that it kind of time travels, it kind of time loops. The bar is kind of like purgatory. It has a Twin Peaks feel. You kind of don't know what's going on. It has that mystery feeling like the first episode of Persons Unknown. I know, don't get scared because the rest of that was crap. But it has that lost feeling, the beginning of Lost, where you don't know what's going on, but you want to stay there. So it does have a good feel other than the impressive technical aspects of the show as well.
Yeah, it's hard to talk about it because there are so many different things that are interesting about the series. And again, it's just beginning. So, I saw the pilot, and the thing about the pilot, you know, we watched it together, Kat, is would you agree that it's well produced?
It looks good. It looks like it was filmed in the same way Farscape. It has it kind of, for some reason, the visuals of it reminds me of Farscape. But it's not.
That.
But yeah. it maybe it's a filter they're using or something, but it's really, I don't know, it's warm.
I see that. I see. It's sort of like a theater intimacy to what you see.
Yeah,
it's not giant in filmy. It feels a little closer than that in the use of lighting and shadow.
Yeah.
Feels very similar to Farscape.
It's very warm.
And the do you know what the main guy, the main barkeep's name is? We've seen him forever. He was all the way back in like Blade Runner. Do you know what his name is? I like him. That's the crazy thing, because, you know, once I say it, you'll be like, oh, that guy, because he's in everything and he's always good. So to have him as the barkeep in BarKarma, and the bar is kind of like, you know, it's kind of like the TARDIS. You know, you go in there and
yeah.
Time is different, and you can see alternate timelines and stuff's kind of cool. But so all of it is a really good foundation for, you know, they've got talent. They've got good people there.
Oh, that is William Sanderson. And he was the sheriff on True Blood.
There you go.
And
he's everywhere.
He was on some other stuff. But that's his name if y'all want to IMDb him.
Yeah.
Let's see. He was on Lost there for a while. Deadwood. He was on Monk. He was Darman Grip Walker, Texas Ranger.
He's been on everything.
Babylon 5, Third Space.
Okay.
Barf.
Okay. We're trying to get people to watch
this. Okay, X-Files. He was on X-Files. How about
X-Files.
That?
He had to be on X-Files. That is his niche. That kind of odd. But so they've laid a great foundation, and I want to see. I'm excited that they're taking a chance on this. And Current TV is sort of like a hip PBS, believe it or not. I mean,
I would go with that. That's good.
Whenever I turn to it, I never intend to turn to Current TV. I got to tell you, I never said, ooh, I got to turn on Current TV today. That's never, ever happened. But I happen upon really, really great things that are on Current TV. And so for them to take a chance on something like this, it's brave of them. It's exciting. I'm glad that somebody's trying this. So I say, hey, let's support them. Let's check it out. And if you don't like it, write something. You know, go on in there and check out. Too. So
and
from a computer standpoint, it's kind of
cool. You can see it on TV. You can see it on currenttv.com. You can also see it on Hulu.
Yay.
So they are up to the third episode. I've only seen the beginning one, but they have two more out, and I plan to watch them this weekend or at some point before the next show, so Carl and I can talk, you know, a bit more about the development, if it's going in a good direction, or if, you know, we're gonna see some flash forward or something in there that's we don't like. But we're gonna be positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we all know an upcoming director for an episode of Bar Karma.
You're supposed to fill that in.
Mr. Jonathan Frakes.
Yes!
Riker! Riker is on the ship.
Number one,
engage. So, yeah, we got Jonathan Frakes directing on the show. And, you know, whatever you may think about Jonathan Frakes, here's the thing. All of the old crew from Next Generation, they took, like, time off to learn directing. Some really good episodes of Next Generation was actually directed by the cast members. It's sort of like they would take one time off. It's like, okay, this week you're going to direct the show, and then this week you're going to direct the show. So they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing, and it's always
been
like
Tom Paris. Didn't Tom Paris do Chuck?
Really? I didn't know that.
Tom Paris does that.
That wouldn't surprise me. They do a good job of giving the stars a fallback job after Star Trek. You know, they really do. And people leave that show with skills. So, I'm looking forward to seeing what Frakes puts down for the upcoming episode. So yeah, give it a shot. Check it out. Watch current TV. And so after Bar Karma went off, I stuck around to watch two more documentaries. One on how food is processed and treatment of animals and food processing. Again, not something I would have sought out, but ended up being really, really interesting, really, really enlightening. And another one about sort of how industry is getting a little bit crazy in terms of taking over land.
You know what? I'm going to shut you down because I don't even know what you're talking about.
See, if you watch
that right now, and then I'm going to mention that Tom Paris, Robert Duncan McNeil, also directed Red Sky of V.
Oh, get out of here. There you go. See, they give him fault. Good
I have
job.
To fill you back in because you went off the rails. So that's
I'm talking about current TV. I'm just trying to say, look, if a network
is talking about current TV. Okay.
Yeah, this is current TV. I'm just saying, if a network's going to be bold enough to try something like this, give them a shot. Check out what else they have to offer. Hey, go current TV. That's it.
Wow. Do you get paid?
What is wrong with you? No.
I'm just kidding.
I'm trying to give, because look, we talk about networks not supporting good science fiction. This network is held together with duct tape and like $8. And so
they got Al Gore behind them or something.
Poor Al Gore. He ain't rolling in cash anymore. Al Gore needs a job. Help Al Gore out. We need to help.
Al Gore need to hire me. I ain't trying to hear nothing about no.
So thanks, Al. We like Bar Karma.
Yeah, Bar Karma. Other two new science fiction TV shows that we want to keep our eye on is Fox's Terra Nova and TNT Fallen Skies. Now, Terra Nova is going to star, I believe, the crazy captain from Avatar.
Yes.
Who was drinking the coffee and like killing people, which I just was so impressed with because he had great, you know, whatever.
Yes, his balance on that ship. That was very beautiful.
And that was just, it just, you know, astonished me. And I thought it was very funny, very, very great comedic timing. And then Fallen Skies, which stars Noah Wiley.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And what's the chick from Terminator? And she was in Journeyman. She has a crazy name.
Oh, Moon Bloodgood.
It's her.
Yay.
She's going to be in Fallen Skies with Noah Wiley. Terra Nova, I just saw a preview or whatever, a teaser. And it looks like it's going to be primeval because it's going to have, not dragons, what are they called? Dinosaurs.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm wary of anything primeval-like.
I'd watch Primeval. I just never could. I mean, some people just ran and rave of how good it was, and I'm not there.
Yeah.
I'm not there. And Fallen Skies is going to be post-apocalyptic, so you know it's going to be the what's the show? Jericho-ish, probably. I'm not really sure. Lost-ish. Everybody's trying to catch that Lost juice. Mm. So we'll see on those.
Well, I'm going to give them a shot. I'm looking forward to it. TNT, they did great with Walking Dead. So if they got
AMC.
I mean, thank you, AMC. Then that's not even the same network. Never mind.
I know. TNT, they have good other shows, but they never really have anything. Because they do Rizzoli and Isles, TNT. They did the country lady who, the closer. They run reruns of Criminal Intent and all this other type. It's a pretty decent network. And if they put their money behind it and they really, want to do something, they're going to make it happen. And Noah Wiley, I love him. He did the Librarian series, and I really liked that. He was kind of nerdy, Indiana Jones or something. And I watched all three of his little movies, and they were on TNT. So I think this is why he's starring in that movie, because they want to give him something. And he's pretty cool, so.
Yeah, he's a good person to have at the core of your show. So, good. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I want it to be good. I'm anxious for more real sci-fi on, so.
Yeah. Yeah, so, it's looking a little, pretty good. We got some options. We can go indie with stuff like Bar Karma. We can worry about our main ones. We can worry about our ones that's not going to be here, after this season. We can look forward to some new ones. And anything else you want to add?
I think I'm good. That's it.
Okay. Well, cool, because we got 30 minutes, we can fast forward through some commercials and we can watch our shows here on Friday night.
We're going to watch Fringe live now, okay? So we're listening to you, Peter. We're going to watch it live.
Yes,
so
we're going to watch it live.
On total count.
Give us feedback. Do not Charles Howell 28418. Correct. Write to me telling me I'm wrong and he's right. I don't want to hear it.
That's right. You should come on the show and tell me that he agrees with me. I think we need more people. Me and Kruger. We need to get Kruger on here.
I just want everybody on. We did this one at the last minute and I didn't have time to plan. So, give us a call. We love throw a voicemail in there. Come on, guys. I've been throwing out this phone number for years.
True.
Do I have to cry? Do I have to? Please call. It's 773-336-2686.
That's... make her the Sally Struthers of science fiction. Call now, please.
773-336-2686. Pick up your iPhone. Call it now. You can go to our website. It is mobile enabled. You can, use that on your phones if you'd like. SciFiPartyLine.com. Leave us a comment there. Send us a tweet at SciFiPartyLine. Now, Eric runs the tweet, so I might not see all of the tweets if you tweet that. So you can tweet at SciFiPartyLine. You can tweet Carl at RoboMinister, right?
That's right. RoboMinister is the more talkative one.
Okay. And I'm at FancyFembot. So you can hit either three of those and we'll all get that. Send us a message on our Facebook page, facebook.com, SciFiPartyLine. Review us on iTunes. I haven't thrown that out there in a very long time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. We're back. I know it's been a while, but we're doing it. See ya. Bye.
Bye.
What was that?
Bye.
End of line.